We were actually in the booth. He texted me that picture. He's like, can you put this up on the screen? I was like, yeah. And Jessica and I were like trying to figure out, you know, Zach was giving his 2 cents on it. So the peanut gallery was up there. Yeah, we're trying to figure out what it was. We did not guess that. Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, but that's okay. That's pretty great. Praise the Lord. I wanted to let you know, too, I talked to Ms. Vasquez at Castellar Elementary this week, too. And I told her, I mean, what a fun phone call I get to make, right? Pretty cool. Get to make a phone call like, hey, we're going to bring you some backpacks. She's like, oh. And I was like, for the whole school if you need it. Shock and awe, right? And yeah, she was just shocked. She really didn't have words to say and was overwhelmed by just the gratitude and the willingness of being able to help them out and support them. And so she is, in the last week, just been working on numbers, who needs. She's the school social worker, and so she works with all of the families. She knows exactly the need. For those of us that have been at Castellar, she is an extremely hard worker. She does more and more every time. Like, do you ever sleep? The answer is probably not. All right. She has like 4 kids. Anyway. All right. But she's awesome. And, she's just really shocked. And, every time we do an outreach like this, I'm always amazed by the impact that it makes way beyond just our normal thoughts. You know, when we think about giving in the kingdom of God, it's easy sometimes just to think about just the $20 going and it's a backpack on a kid's back. That alone is a huge blessing, okay? But then we also think about there's all these faculty members at Castellar that are going to see that, okay? There's all the family members that are going to see it. There's all of this impact. There's bus drivers. There's all these different people that will come into contact with the blessing of God on people's lives. And so I want to remind you today that, you know, as you're planting, the impact is way beyond our reach. And if we get a chance to be able to, you know, all go. I don't know exactly when or how we're going to get these backpacks delivered yet. Logistically, we're going to figure that out as we go. But the impact is going to be much bigger than even what I just stated, because that's the way that God works. And I would just encourage you, now is the time to begin to pray into what God is going to do through this outreach, to believe that God is going to be who he says he's going to be, which is delivering something that's beyond our wildest dreams, beyond just a backpack and some school supplies. I love praying over those coats when we give the coats to kids, because we pray over those things and then they just put it on. And they're just carrying around those prayers, those blessings, the Holy Spirit. Everywhere they go, the presence of God goes with those coats. And so same thing with these backpacks. You know, we have a chance and an opportunity to impact 575 kids, their families, okay, all of the faculty members. That's thousands of people that are going to be impacted by this outreach, all right? And I just want to remind you of that. Praise the Lord, yeah. And so as you're believing and giving, also remember, just continue to pray and lift this up. We always see amazing things happen when we do this stuff. Always, because God is faithful. He always is. And so there's always cool things that happen, random things are like, well, I didn't see that coming. And it is always a blessing, not only to the people that we bless, but also to us. Amen? Amen. All right. If you got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to read verse 29 through 31 today. I love this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures growing up. I was a big bird watcher growing up, if you didn't know that. So that's pretty nerdy. When I was 10 years old, I had a top 10 list of birds I wanted to see before I died. Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen everything, every one of them except for one. In the wild, right? I've seen all of them, but a few of them were in captivity. But I've seen every one of them except for one. The great gray owl, I haven't seen that. That's a hard one. Anybody ever seen that before? Largest owl in North America. 40 inches tall. Be like a, yeah, be like a dinosaur if you saw that thing. Like, yeah. Anyway, so I was really into birds. So I love the scripture because it talked about an eagle. And so I was like, that's awesome. So there's the nerdy past of Brandon Kerr. All right. I still know a lot of information about birds. So if you ever want to know what a bird is, I might be able to tell you. It's a strong possibility. There's like a 90% chance I'll know, all right, because I had like 30 bird books, you know, how to like identify them all, the Audubon bird books. If you don't know what they are, you're missing out. They're awesome. I had binoculars, Bushnell binoculars. Still got them, by the way. Yeah, they're so nice. They're sweet. Got those when I was 10. Yeah, year after I got my power tools, so I got my first power tool when I was 9. Some sweet binoculars when I was 10. My life was awesome. Anyway, it still is. Anyway, that's all I got. That has nothing to do with today except to make you laugh and realize I was a complete nerd when I was a kid. Nothing's changed. So let's read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. It says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen? Amen. Man, would you just join me in prayer? Lord, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We just thank you, God, for your presence filling this place today, filling the rooms of people watching online. We thank you, Father, that it is your presence, Lord, that brings miracles, signs, and wonders. So speak to us today. We thank you for your word, that it is true, that it is foundational to our relationship with you. We stand on it today, and we thank you that you are going to speak to us right now in your name. Amen. Amen. I love this scripture because it speaks to the fact that every person has dealt with feeling weak, right? Every one of us. Every one of us have had moments where we have felt weak. Where we have felt faint, where you didn't feel like moving on. Maybe you have dealt with something for a long, long time, and you get to a point where you're like, I just don't know if I can do it any longer. Have you ever said something like that to yourself before? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody like that before? I've had a lot of those conversations. I'm careful who I have those conversations with. I make sure I have those conversations with my pastors and my mentors. And the reason is because I don't need somebody saying, yeah, it's pretty hard, you should just give up, right? I love my mentors and my pastors because they say, yeah, sure, okay, but don't give up. Praise the Lord. Need people like that in your life. And life is hard. The world is not perfect. You'll go through tough stuff in life. But this scripture is such an incredible promise for us as believers. Okay? If If you stand on the Word of God, if you have a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, this scripture, these few verses, every day you can hang your hat on this. Amen? Every day you can be encouraged. And so we're going to break this down for a minute. First off, he gives power to the faint and increases strength to those with no might. So if you've ever felt faint, don't worry. Okay? I love Pastor Mike. He said, don't fret. All right? Don't worry. You can either worry or you can move on. Okay? It'll take the same amount of mental capacity for you to decide to move on or decide to sit and do nothing. I'd rather use my mind, my spirit, actively moving forward than using it to spiral out of control. How many of you have ever been there before? You ever spiral before? All right. Is that just me? Am I the only one that has spiraled before? You start thinking. You ever think about, like, start thinking about things, worrying about something, and you start making up stuff that's not even a reality? Do you ever stop and just say, maybe this is just me? How dumb is that, right? I'm like, John Wade said, life's hard, it's harder if you're stupid, right? And whenever I find myself spiraling a little bit, right, and I get to the bottom, I'm like, what am I doing? This is not even real. What are you doing? I used to do that a lot when I was younger and still understanding who God was in my life. I've known Jesus. I've had a relationship with Jesus. But understanding who he truly is in your life, your whole life, you will work that journey. And he'll reveal new parts of who he is to you. And I just remember these spiral moments. And I'm like, I would get there and I'm like, everything that I just worried about, it's not even real. Like, the first thought was real. And then 23 things after, that's not even real. That's not even happening. I'm just like worried, jumping to conclusions that these things might happen. What are we doing, right? And this is one of the greatest plots of the enemy, is to put one little worry in you, and then your mind can do the rest. You know, how many of us are like, man, the devil's been working, you know? No, you're just being dumb, you know? So, the devil's been at work. Let me tell you what, he's been plotting. You know, he did one little thing, and then you just took it and said, you know what, let's make it worse, okay? We've got to recognize what it is, okay, and what we're choosing to do, amen? And it goes on to say, but, I love the buts. There's a big hairy but, all right? You can laugh. It's okay, all right? We're in church. It's okay. But there's a but here that's huge, okay? But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. And the word wait there is so important because, and I've talked about this before, so this is going to be a repeat, but repetition is good. And the word wait there is so important because many times as Christians, we like the idea because it's comfortable when we hear the word wait that we just get to do this. Sorry, camera people. Sorry, camera person. What was I doing again? Oh, yeah. Waiting. Some of you are like, Brandon, we get it. This is annoying now. Yeah, I know. It's the point, all right? But that's what we think of, and that's what we do a lot when it comes to the waiting period, okay? But when it speaks of wait, it is not like that, okay? One of the best analogies that I heard years ago was like it's somebody as like a waiter or a waitress, a good waiter or waitress at a restaurant, right? A good waiter or waitress at a restaurant always keeps your drink full, right? Which is dangerous for me, all right? I rarely order soda anymore at a restaurant because if it's full, I'll drink it, all right? This is a tangent, but you'll enjoy it. You can laugh at me. It's okay. We had a guest speaker in. Pastor Deborah might remember this, but we had a guest speaker come in to speak at our church once, and we all went out to lunch afterwards. And I'm sitting right across from him, and I order Coca-Cola. And we had a good waitress, okay? We haven't even gotten our food. I've probably drank like 4 or 5 glasses, all right? Yeah. Serious, bro. And the guest speaker says, hey, the waitress comes to take it, and he says to the waitress, ma'am, he's done. I don't know what is happening, all right? He looks at me, he's like, you need to stop drinking that much soda. I was like, yeah, I do. Yeah, he's probably right. Bring me one more, though, you know? But a good waiter or waitress keeps your cup full, okay? They're not like asking all of these annoying questions. I'm going to say it one more time. They're not asking all these annoying questions. Praise the Lord that we're not annoying to God, that He loves us, that He's patient with us. All right, right? Can you imagine if you had to deal with you? Yikes. You know what I'm talking about? But a good waiter, they're there, they're ready, whatever you need. Sir, ma'am, you need something? Cool, okay. Here's your food, and it's like hot and ready. They were actually there, like sitting right outside the kitchen waiting for your food to come right when it came. Poof, here's your food. It's warm, it's ready. That's how we're supposed to be with the Lord, okay? And I want that picture to be in your head. Even more so, the primitive root of the Hebrew word used here is to bind together, okay? I want you to get that today, bind together. Why is that really powerful? Well, we could go culturally in the Hebrew culture for Israel in particular, what binding together, but they would bind things together to help them remember things. One of the main practices in Israel was to actually bind a string multiple times around a finger, 2 fingers like this, to remind them of specific things, specifically promises and scriptures of God. And so when we read this, for us culturally, maybe like we were like, oh, that's cool, all right. But when Israel was reading this, it was different. Because they're saying, oh, okay, I see what he's talking about. He's talking about binding, waiting. And what do we bind? We bind the promises of God in our waiting. Amen? When we wait, we aren't just doing nothing, sitting down, looking on our phone, but we are binding the promises of God to the time that we put into waiting on the Lord. And that is a huge, huge piece of the scripture. Because if you want the promise, there's something also that you've got to do. Okay? Does that make sense? Sometimes people are like, man, you know, God's just not doing it in my life. And I'm like, well, tell me about your life. What are you doing? I'm like, whoa, whoa, buddy. Back off, all right? I didn't ask your opinion, all right? I just wanted to complain to you, all right? Okay. Because what we say, what we think about, what we meditate on, all of those things we are binding to the weight, okay? So what are you binding yourself to, okay? Are you binding yourself to negative thoughts? Are you binding yourself to the guy or gal at work that talks poorly about their marriage, and then you're just like, I don't know, my marriage is just not going really well. Well, who are you talking to? Well, there's this one guy, he always talks to me about how he has a horrible marriage. I'm like, stop talking to him. Well, I have to. No, you don't. Tell him to shut up. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Watch, it's like this. Hey, shut up. Like, that's not very Christian. It's probably kind of Christian when he's talking poorly about his wife, as mean as he is about his wife, how horribly he's talking. If you tell him to shut up, I think you're defending the defenseless when you do that, wouldn't you say? Last I checked, that is in the scripture. So we got all worried and stuff, like, well, it might hurt his feelings. Good. It probably should hurt his feelings, all right? Because the things that we bind ourselves to, they produce in our life, okay? Wait, it's not just a passive sitting, all right? It's not just a passive sitting. There's an activity that is happening that way. There's an expectation that is happening, all right? How many of you have ever come into a Sunday morning church service expecting God to do something? Amen? Expecting it, right? You know, Charity, my wife, she spoke a little bit about our testimony in becoming pregnant for a son that's coming in October. And one of those moments for us is last November when we went to hear Kenneth Copeland and Jonathan Shuttlesworth speak. And when we were going in there, we were expecting something to break in that. We were high expectation. And when he said, if you need prayer, come up, it was a done deal at that point. We knew it. We looked at each other. We knew we're going to walk this out in faith, but we already know it's already done. And when he lays his hand on it, there's nothing special about this man of God, but there's something incredibly special about our Heavenly Father. And he's working through this moment right now. And that was like the final tipping point. And when you come in expecting God to do something, you get way more out of it, right? Have you ever come to a church service not expecting? Yeah. You know, you barely get there. You know, got there, right? All right. Or you're just not there, your headspace, okay? Because it's easy in America when it comes to church to be a consumer, right? It's so easy to be a consumer when it comes to church. We can just come and be a consumer, not a participator, right? It's okay. My toes hurt too a little bit, okay? That's just a reality. We live in a very cushy world, okay? The freedoms that we have, the luxuries that we have, we are used to consuming things. How many of you are going to go out to eat today or maybe this week, right? And you come to the drive-thru, okay, if you go to a drive-thru. And when you come into the drive-thru, do you expect somebody on the other line? Yeah. In fact, if they don't say hello, welcome to, in the first 3 seconds, you're like, hello, is anyone there? The other person is like, yeah, call him, sir, I'm, you know what I'm talking about. We are so used to consuming in America. And so in church, it's easy to approach it as a consumer as well. In fact, it's easy to approach God as a consumer as well, instead of a participator, instead of a waiter or a waitress, right? So expectancy is huge. So it says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. I love that. Renew their strength. What does renew mean? That word speaks of springing up, sprouting up. Amen? Something that grows and sprouts. And I bring that back. That's so important to the scripture. Because what springs up? A seed. What did we just talk about? When you're waiting on the Lord, you are planting seeds. You're planting seeds. Okay? You're planting seeds. You're waiting on the Lord. What seeds are you planting? Okay? Are you planting good seeds? Seeds of faith and expectation on who God is, the promises of God, what He has promised you in His life. Are you planting those things? Or instead, are you planting unbelief? Are you allowing your frustration to turn into these spiral sessions where you're upset and angry? You're justifying now your negative actions that you're doing. Because, well, my life is just so hard. And for the record, I'm not saying that whatever you're going through isn't hard. I'm just telling you that you've got a God that's got everything you need in that situation and in that hard place. And so renewing is something springing up. We could literally put this scripture and just flip it on the back for a minute and say, so if you're planting seeds, if you're expecting bad things, you're planting bad things, you're going to also sprout up negative things in your life. What do you want? You ever run out of a subscription before? Anybody? You ever think that you have a subscription and then you go to use it and it's like you've expired or your credit card, it expired, so you need a new credit card. So frustrating, right? So inconvenient! And so you've got to go do what? You've got to go renew it. And in our relationship with God, we should always be renewing. Amen? We should always be renewing, allowing the Holy Spirit to renew things in us, all right? Take an audit of your life on a regular basis. Where you look at the things like, are you happy with that? Are you happy with this part of your life? What you've been doing? What you've been saying? Are you excited about the out from your work or your job? Are you excited about the things that you're producing? Well, if you're not, then it's time for a renewal. Amen? It's time for a renewal. And so we plant seeds in our waiting. We bind the promises and the word of God around our hearts, our minds. We plant those seeds. Those seeds begin to grow. And then it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. And I love that picture of eagles, because eagles, they soar higher than all other birds. Their point of view is greater than any other animal's point of view on earth. And I love this picture for us, because when you do those things, it says you will mount up with wings like eagles. That you'll rise above your situation, your problem. You ever get in a situation where you're just so narrow-minded, you can't see any other options around you? And that eagle-eye view, that's perspective. Amen? And we can do this just in the natural world, right? This works just in the natural world, too. You ever worked on something really hard, situation? You know, I do construction. Sometimes I just have to step back. You know what I mean? I get in a certain situation. I remember, you know, in different moments, you know, you cut a board 17 times, and you're like, it's still not right. Okay, I need to take a step back. All right. We're not going to keep doing this. We're going to take a step back, gain a little perspective, and then you step back into it, and it's those moments where you, this is important, okay, where you move on. Okay? One of the biggest things that we see in today's culture is people not moving on. Right? They are stuck. And they are not moving on. And so, when they're waiting, it's just a seed planted more of just, I'm just going to be here. And they're just getting more and more and more stuck. The promises of God say, when you wait upon the Lord and you bind yourself to his word, you will be renewed in your strength. And that strength then will empower you to mount up, okay? For those of us, when we hear mount up, what do we hear? Like, get to it, right? If you're in the military and your officer says mount up, you're like, okay, I'm going to go to the chow hall real quick, right? What? Right? How would that go, Mike? Ralph was like, he got right back to his Army Ranger days. He's like, whoa, man. He's like, never me, but I saw this one guy one time. He never came back. But if you hear the words, and as men, if we hear the word mount up, something like gets, we're all like, okay, yeah, we're just like get really manly, you know? We're like, let's go, all right? Why? Because there's something innately that should happen in all of us when our strength is renewed. This is important, that creates activity in us. I'm just going to bring you back. If you just follow me for just a minute. But when Saul, King Saul, was anointed for the first time by Samuel, Samuel says, and you can go back and you can read it. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact place in the scripture where this happens. But when Samuel anoints Saul, he anoints him and he prays over him. And he says, when this happens, you'll know what to do. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will do what sees fit. Okay, this is important, all right? Just stick with me for a minute. If you read all of Judges over and over again, the same thing happens. With David, the same thing happens. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them, there is something they know that they have to do instantly. Some do and some don't. So when Saul is anointed, and Samuel tells him, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. When it does, do what seems fit to you. And what is it that seems fit? He goes in and he destroys the Philistines that have conquered his personal land for who knows how long. The thing that couldn't be done in an instant. If you read Judges, every judge in Israel, there is a moment where the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. The one person, one of the very first judges, his story is the smallest, the very beginning. It's because he actually did it instantly. We don't ever talk about that guy. We talk about Gideon. We talk about Samson. We talk about these guys because their story is great. The longer their story is in Judges, it means the longer they tarried. Now, that's important because it's incredible because God is still patient, right? Gideon, like, does some crazy stuff. He, like, puts all these fleeces out. He makes God prove himself over and over again. And the amazing thing about God is he is patient with them and still does it and still works through them. Samson, I mean, we talked about that a few weeks ago. He's just a dum-dum. You know what I'm talking about? But God is patient with them and still uses and works through them. But if you read Judges, we should just go there so I can just talk about it, just so we can get this. I didn't know I was going there, so. Go to Judges. I can do this. Try to find it real quick. If I can't, we'll move on. Yes. Judges chapter 3. It's page 209 in my Bible. I'm just kidding. That doesn't help you at all. Judges chapter 3, verse 7. Othniel. If you want to fire up my wife, go talk to her about Othniel. She gets fired up about Othniel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. This is verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They forgot about the Lord their God, and they served the image of Baal and the Asherah poles. Then the Lord burned with anger against Israel, and he turned them over to King Cushan. Wow, that's a big name. And somebody else. And the Israelites served those guys 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord to help, the Lord raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother. Yeah, he comes from Caleb. You know, he's like, yeah. No, he's a bad to the bone, dude. Okay, sorry, I got it. This is the verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge. And he went to war against King whatever, and the Lord gave Othniel victory. Done. Done. That is actually how all of Judges is supposed to read. Did you hear me today? Every judge in Judges, that is the lens with which you have to read Judges, if you ever do. You have to read it through the lenses. That's actually how it was supposed to happen. Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, when he renews your strength, there is something inside of you that is called to mount up. Does that make sense? And so it is in that moment that you have a choice to make. Do you mount up or do you retreat? So some of you right now find yourself in that choice moment, right? You are in that choice moment. You're in that and you have a choice to make. Am I going to retreat or am I going to mount up? And you read about these people and judges, and the longer it goes, the more disgusting these people become. And you might be like, you can't say that. I can, all right? You read Judges, and it's like you're trudging through the mud, okay? Why? Because we see so many pieces of who we are through these stories. You're like, that's the worst part of me. I really don't want to go back there. It's tough. It's hard because human nature is real, okay? Flesh is real. And there's something inside of us, that flesh, that wants to conquer us. But because of what Jesus has done on the cross, the victory that we have in him, we can say no to all of that. And that victory that we have in Jesus Christ, when we wait upon him, we bind his word and his promises to ourselves. And our strength is renewed. The only thing left to do is to mount up and get after it. There's nothing more to talk about. There's nothing more, nothing else that we have to prepare. Let's just go do it. I'm like, well, what about? No, stop. Why don't you just go do it? And it is in that choice, as soon as we mount up, that the first step will be revealed to us. And this is where a lot of people turn back. I think one of two reasons. Either the first step is too hard or uncomfortable. Or number two, we need the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth step before we do the first step. Trust. I mean, we just talked about, you know, we use the example of military. When an officer says, mount up, you're not like, okay, well, let's sit down and, like, can you just give me a quick, like, rundown, you know, the next few days, what's going to look like and everything like that. They just say, let's just go, all right? Sure, there's a battle plan, there's a plan of attack, but you've trained for all of those things, all right? So your officers, the people that need to know, know. The people that don't need to know, just follow the leader. And so in our own life, our relationship with God, I love this scripture because it's an incredible promise, but it's also an incredible directive. It's an incredible directive of how things break in our lives. And I don't know about you, but there are things right now that need to break in my life. They have to. And I recognize there's no way I can do it on my own. And so what do I have to do? I have to do this. I have to continually be before the Lord, in His presence, chasing after Him. You know, in Revelation, it speaks of, somebody help me out, the church that he speaks of, but they have forsaken their first love. I forget which church he's speaking to when he says that. But he's speaking to one of the churches in Revelation. He says, this one thing I hold against you is you've forsaken your first love. When you forsake your first love, you really get to a place in your life where you take it for granted. Let's never take the presence of God for granted. The fact that any moment we can just be in the presence of the Most High, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, that at any moment we're going to say, Holy Spirit, boom. Let us never forsake the gift that is in our life. What it can unlock and change in our life. And so the things that need to break in my life, I need to get before the Lord. I need to chase after Him. I need to get in the presence of God. It's in the presence of God that clarity always comes. It's in the presence of God that I'm allowed, by the grace of God, to begin to plant the seeds of the promises that He has said in my life. That I look and read and take in the Word of God. Amen? Not just read it, but to take in the Word of God. Okay? And as I do that, my strength is renewed. Anybody ever gone to the gym before? And as you get up and you're like, I'm going to go to the gym. And you're like, I really don't want to go to the gym. Yeah. Like said every person that ever went to the gym ever. All right? Right? You never like, you know what? Yeah. It's not really necessarily really exciting. But then you get into the gym and maybe you still aren't that excited, but you start doing a few things and you're like, man, I'm really glad I'm here. Right? I'm really glad I decided to do that. Okay? Why? Because you start doing it and you start understanding what it's going to get you. It's the same thing with the presence of God. And sometimes we don't talk. It's awkward sometimes, okay? Praying to God can be awkward sometimes, especially if you haven't done it for a long time. You're like, hi, thou art the... hello? But God, King, God, and it can be super awkward. I did a sermon series when I was a youth pastor called Awkward. It was all about prayer with God because it's so awkward at times, especially when you're starting out, all right? It's like middle schoolers dating. It's the most awkward thing ever, Have you ever watched a middle schooler go on a date before? It is the most awkward, cringy, uncomfortable thing ever. It's hilarious. I love it. I love middle schoolers, okay? They're just so great. It's the most awkward thing. They don't know what to say or how to say it. You know, the thing that was really attractive to the other person that was really exciting, the other can't do it now because they're trying to, like, perform and be awesome, you know? And so the very thing that the one was like, that's really cute or awesome, they won't even do it now. And so now they're like, who is this person, right? And one of them tries to hold the other hand. They're like, oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, oh, too late. Moments passed. And I love God because he's just so patient. Never forget that. Never forget that. I have an incredible dad, and he's just an incredible example to me of what my Heavenly Father is for me and so much more, okay? I know not everybody has that blessing in their life, and I recognize that. But I never, like, I can walk in my dad's room anytime, anything, and, it, like, even if it's, like, awkward or first or weird, like, I can just, if we talk enough, we'll get there. Did you hear me today? Like, if you just talk enough, you'll get there. And I just want you to know, like, in the presence of God, if you get there and you just talk with him enough, you'll get there. And you might be like, can you just give me, like the equation? I just did. Like, if you talk with him enough, you will get there. And it's so cool about who God is. The Holy Spirit, the presence, the person of God that you experience, it's going to be exactly what you need. Isn't that cool? Exactly what you need. It's not exactly what I need or what Mike needs. It's not exactly what Shelly needs is for me. It's exactly what you need. That's who God is. It's one of those things that we'll never fully grasp or understand. If you talk to him enough, you'll get there, okay? And it's okay that it's awkward, okay? Sometimes it's like, oh, it's awkward. I must be doing something wrong, or I must have done something to make him mad or upset or whatever. That ship sailed. All right. Jesus came, died for your sins. It's all been taken care of. At your very worst, he hung on a cross for you. The worst thing that you've ever done in your life, he loved you right then. He loved you right then. That's what he died for. That's who he is. And then the last promise, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Anybody out in the heat this last week? Yeah. I don't know about you. I was working outside a lot this week, and there was a few times I felt pretty faint. I'm like, whoa. Kind of came out of nowhere, you know? My Garmin watch actually went off. I've never had this happen. It said, emergency, stop what you're doing. I was like, get out of here. Leave me alone. It's like, you don't own me, all right? Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. So, you know, I worked another 3 hours. So I was like, you know what? I'll drink some water. All right? Will that pacify you? All right? Smartwatch is pretty dumb right now, okay? It's called a job, all right? So, but there was a few times, you know, working outside this week, you know, that I felt it a little bit more than normal, right? But it didn't mean that you just stop, right? You just don't do it, you know? I'm pretty sure Eric was a little warm this week at work, you know. Did you say, you know what, sorry boss, gotta go, man. You know, it's real hot, you know. It's like, no, you just do what you gotta do. These are the way that we handle certain aspects of our life, but when it comes to our relationship with God, okay, we're not used to doing sometimes, okay. But I just want to remind you here today of what he promises, all right. You'll run, all right, there's still activity. You're still going to have to do something. You're still going to have to run after it. You're still going to have to go break those things down. You're still, we read about Othniel, you're still going to have to go fight the enemy of God, okay? It didn't say that Othniel, he still had to go fight, all right? He just did it. He knew God was going to go with him. You've got to still go. You still got to run. You still got to walk. You still got to move that path. But there's a promise that you're not going to be weary, that you're not going to be faint. Praise the Lord. That the things that would normally make you tired and exhausted, the things that you would look at and say, there's no way, you'll have everything that you need to be able to persevere. Amen? I love this scripture. Three verses, 29, 30, 31. Three verses. This is three verses in this book. Three. Three verses in this book. This is who he is. Never ending. Unfailing. A father that loves you. A father that desires to help you go from glory to glory. To experience new mercies every day. That is the Lord that we serve. Amen? Amen. Let's close out today. Why don't you just focus on him today? Do whatever you got to do that. But I specifically sense that there's people that are in that that choice time right now. They've waited. They've been renewed. And now the directive of mounting up has been said. And now they have to make a choice if they're going to do, you're going to do the right, the thing that God has told you to do. That's a hard place to be sometimes because it means some very uncomfortable stuff might have to happen. And I sense the Holy Spirit just speaking to you right now. We've gotten this far. I've proved myself to this point. Trust me. You might find yourself in the place of waiting, in that perspective of, you know, I thought waiting on God was just, you know, sitting around waiting until he finally spoke. But maybe I need to get in his presence so I can actually hear him speak. If that's you today, know he's there. It might be awkward at first. That's okay. But just start talking to him. Just open up your heart to him. For me personally, it just means usually in my car or in a quiet moment, just talking like I'm talking right now and just speaking truth, how I feel. This is how I feel. I know that's just the feeling. But that is how I feel, and I want to move on. I always tell him how thankful I am for him, how much I love him, how much I need him. Waiting on him. And there's some people today, too, that God wants you to be reminded today that your renewal is coming. And you've been waiting on me and pursuing me and binding my words and promises to yourself, and the springing up and the sprouting is coming. Galatians 6:9, do not get tired and weary in do-gooding, because at the right time you will reap the harvest. Don't get tired. Keep on persevering. Keep on pushing. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you are faithful. You are always faithful. We don't take that for granted. You are always who you say you are. And we thank you for that. And if you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus, you want to know him today. I just want to give you an opportunity to say, that's me today. If that's you, you just lift up your hand today and say, that's me today. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'll lead you in a prayer, a simple prayer from where you're at. I don't see any hands in this place. I can't see online, so we're going to still say this prayer for anybody that might want to make that decision today. If you're online, or maybe you're in the room, you didn't raise your hand, don't worry. The moment hasn't passed. You can still do it. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and it's not so much the words as much as the meaning behind the words. It's making Jesus the number one thing in your life. Giving him kingship in your life. Recognizing him as the Savior and the one that can do it all. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Say this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I need you. I know I need you. Change me. Help me. Do what you've called me to do. I thank you, Father, that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on a cross that I deserved. Forgive me of my sins. Help me do what you've called me to do. I commit to spending time with you, to pursue you. And I'm excited to be renewed, to mount up and do what you've called me to do. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen, amen. So what do you do from here? Well, go do it, all right? Today doesn't mean anything if you just were like, oh, that's cool, cool. Good job, right? That doesn't help any of us. This week, we've now got to go do it, all right? Monday's coming. It should be exciting. Monday is coming. It should be exciting. So now you get to put all of these things into practice, what God has done in your life, what he's spoken to you today, what he's challenging you to do. Now you get to go apply it. Amen? All right? And in application comes a lot of fulfillment. Amen? How many of you are going to have the most fulfilling week of your life this week? Come on, somebody. All right? Come on, somebody. All right, we love you. Family nights tonight, 5 p.m. We can't wait to see you. Bring some meat to grill, a side to share. The festivities will be amazing. There will be bucket golf. There will be seed spitting and egg toss. It'll be great. We love you. Have an awesome week. Pick up your kids. Don't leave them here.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.